verse number 20. Paul here says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Lord, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity to come and look into your word and be blessed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you tonight that you take this word and you use it tonight in our lives, that you encourage us and challenge us and do what's needed this evening. And most of all, we pray that Jesus Christ might be lifted up. We pray this evening, Lord, that everything we do will be edifying to him. For it's in his wonderful, holy name we pray. Amen. The Vance Havner, the old-time Baptist preacher that died not too many years ago, and he was always very comical, and after his wife died, someone came up to him and said, "Brother Havner, I'm sorry to hear that you lost your wife." And Brother Vance looked at him and he said, "I didn't lose her. I know exactly where she's at." You know, he had the assurance and the confidence that in life that Christ was present with us, and that in death we would be present with Christ. They just sang that song, Beulah Land. And, you know, that's a great song when you begin to listen to the lyrics of the song and how great it is that God has prepared that place for us. And Paul here in our text this evening is going to talk about that for just a moment. You know, you can look at some, going to cemeteries sometime, and you can read some strange epitaphs on some of these tombstones. I heard about one that said, "A stranger, approach here with gravity, because this dentist has filled his last cavity." But I think my favorite one of all time was the one I heard about. The couple had a desire to have a child and were unable to have a child. And as they grew older and older, finally she conceived and they brought forth a little boy. And it was such a miracle of God and such a fantastic miracle, they just named him Fantastic. And so he went through all of his life being known as Fantastic. And after he died, he left behind a note that said, "When you put up my tombstone, do not put a name on it. Only put, here lies a man who never said anything bad about anybody." And they put that on his tombstone, and everybody that came by would read that and say, "That's fantastic." But when I read this particular passage tonight, I'm reminded tonight of a song. I think it was written by a man by the name of Mike Upright, if I'm not mistaken. And it said, "I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have healing here below or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm a winner either way." That's what Paul talks about in our text this evening. And he begins talking about the purpose of his life. He said that to live is Christ. Now, what would you and I put there this evening? What could we put there that for us to live is what? Paul said for him to live is Christ. Remember driving up the road one day, and I was listening to the radio, and they were interviewing a young man that had been injured in a racing accident, and he had lost both of his legs, and he said, "I really don't want to live, for to me to live was to race." And a lot of folks tonight have a lot of different things in their life they could say they're actually living for. And you see, too many folks tonight are living with something tonight that is tangent and temporary and will soon fade away. most of the things that you and I see people living for tonight will not last very long. You think of all of the things that you see. It's like Adrian Rogers said, saw a man in a red Ferrari and said, he with the most toys, he who dies with the most toys wins. And Adrian Rogers said, you're still dead. Doesn't matter how many toys you have after you die, you're still dead. What are you living for? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And when you begin to read his biography, which is a great deal of the New Testament this evening, it becomes clear to us tonight that Paul was living for Christ, and that Christ was his life. As a matter of fact, he wrote in the book of Galatians that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said on another occasion, I die daily. You see, this evening, Paul's entire life was wrapped up in Jesus Christ. The purpose of his life was Jesus Christ. The passion of his life was Jesus Christ. And everything that Paul had to do tonight centered and was focused around the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I read that not too long ago. I was reading some biographies and of lesser-known Christians tonight, and I came across a biography of a man by the name of Bill Wallace. And he was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, in, I believe, about 1908. And at the age of 17, he was working in his daddy's garage, and in the garage in his home, on an automobile. And it seemed to come to him a nagging voice, said, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You finished high school, and now what are you going to do with your life? And suddenly he fell to his knees there in that garage and said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so he became a medical missionary. It took 10 years to do his medical training. And after enduring those 10 years of training, he departed for China. There for 15 years he labored in a hospital in the land of China, spreading the gospel and healing patients with medicine. He dated a young girl for a period of time, and someone asked her, was she going to marry him? And she said, no, it would be bigamy. He's already married to Christ. In 1950, the communists overrun the China. They came into the hospital, accused him of being an American spy, and after about a year of torture, about a year all of the enduring many trials and persecutions, he was executed by the Chinese government. He was buried in a grave without any funeral. Several years later, they were able to find the grave, and someone put a marker on it with these seven words, to live, for me to live, is Christ. Down through the years, many hospitals, many tonight churches, many missionaries, a lot of seats in universities have been named for this young man who gave his life, who tonight lived, and Christ was his life. For me to live is Christ, is what the Apostle Paul is saying tonight. You and I need to realize if we want to be a winner either way, the purpose and the passion and the pattern of our life needs to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. If He loved us that much to die for us, don't we tonight need to live for Him? Paul was not talking about just coming to church. He was not talking just about giving of our material goods. Paul was talking about his entire life was controlled by Jesus Christ. Everything that he did was centered around him. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. The more you read about the things that he endured in his life, the afflictions and the persecutions, and he literally was stoned to death outside the gates of Lystra on an occasion. And Paul endured many things tonight. Perils by his countrymen, and was in robberies and shipwrecks and all kinds of different incidents happened in the Apostle Paul's life, but he never wobbled on the axle. He never backed up. He simply said, for me to live is Christ. But then he talks about the day that was before him. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die. You see, life is a fleeting thing, isn't it? The Scriptures describe it in one occasion as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. It's like the morning fog that comes in and it's here for a brief period of time and then it disappears. Another place it talks about it being like a tale that's being told, and one day the story will come to an end. David said that there's but a step between death and me. Our next step may be into eternity. Our next step, we may fall dead. Many people this evening have been doing really good, have always enjoyed good health. And the next moment, they've stepped into eternity. There's but a step between us and death. Have you ever realized when you drive down the highway and you meet another automobile, there's a very short distance between you and death? Paul said that one day I'm going to die. You see, Paul realized that one day the Holy Spirit would set free his spirit. Somebody said a man came into a town and he was thinking about moving there, and so he was looking about all the things in the town. He finally stopped at this little store and he asked this man, he said, "Well, I've examined everything in your little town, all is good. Can you tell me what the death rate is here?" The man said, "Same as it is everywhere, one per person." One per person. What is appointed on the man wants to die. Now, we know there is a second death, and we're not talking about that tonight. That's in the book of the Revelation. But I'm telling you tonight, there is, on this earth, a man is appointed once to die. You and I have an appointment that we have to keep, that we must keep. There'll be no way around it this evening. You see, the odds of us dying is very high, one in one. There are three people, I believe, that in the statistics show that die every second. But now, Paul didn't just say, "I'm going to die." He said, "To die is gain." To die is gain. Now that's an unusual statement, isn't it? Most of us are like B.R. Lakeland. Great preacher I heard preach several times, and Dr. Lakeland said on occasion, "If I knew when death was going to get me, I wouldn't go there." But Paul said, "For me to die is gain." The word gain literally means profitable, or we get a word that we use sometime in the financial world today called dividend. Paul said that for me to die is to gain my dividend. You see tonight, death is a dividend to the child of God. Right. You and I tonight are going to reap the dividends of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Tonight we have peace with God. We have a lot of benefits that God gave to us in this life. But think of the great dividend that's going to pay off in the future tonight. We're going to a place where there's no pain, where there's no sorrow, where there's no tears. We're going to a place where there are no thieves, where there's no darkness. We're headed to a place, as they sang a moment ago, "Go" is sometimes called Beulah Land. As inspiration said, "One glad morning you'll find me touring that city, where the Son of God is the light." We're headed tonight for that glorious place Jesus has provided for us, that mansion that he has for us on the other side. I'm glad this evening that as I read the Scriptures, I can say to die is gain. It's a dividend. Oh, the blessed hope of the child of God tonight is the coming of the Lord Jesus. But the second blessed hope tonight is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Well, I got a hope tonight. I've got a heart filled tonight with hope. When this walk of life is over, I'm not going to wake up in a grave. I'm going to wake up on the other side. I'm going to be in the very presence of the one who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to be reaping the dividends tonight. There were years ago, and I don't even remember the name of the television program I was watching, and some medical show, and there was a preacher on the show, and he had some kind of disease, and he was getting pretty elderly, and the doctors wanted to run a lot of tests and do some things, and he kept refusing all of their offers. And finally, one of them said, you know, if you don't have these tests done and we don't begin to treat this illness, you're going to die. And the thing that intrigued me about what he said was he looked at the doctor and he said, young man, I've been preparing all my life for this and my bags are packed and I'm ready to go. My bags are packed. And I'm ready to go. I'm glad tonight my bags are packed and I'm ready to go. Paul said, to die is gain. I'm going to reap the dividend. I'm going to be profitable. It's going to be a far better place than what I'm living in now. You see, he said in the book of Timothy, that he, the time of his departure was at hand. And he was ready to be offered. You know what about that? The time of his my departure is at hand. The ship's about to sail. The bus is about to leave. The tent is about to be struck. I often think as I read that, it means to be set free like a bird set free out of a cage is what the word literally means. Fellow told me one time, he said, I don't like that song, I'll Fly Away. That's not scriptural. I believe when I read that verse of scripture, I said, I believe it is. Paul said, some glad morning, I'll fly away. The cage is about to be opened, and I'm going to be set free. To die is gain. When you read his resume and you begin to read the things about Paul. He was a soul winner and a student of the Word of God. He was a servant of Christ and a soldier in God's army. He was a steward of the mysteries of God. Paul said, then he said down in verse number 23, I have a desire to depart. Paul said, not only is it gain, I got a desire to go there. I have a desire to go very few places. I want to be fair with you. I always tell my wife I'll carry anywhere in the world she wants to go so I can sleep in my bed that night. I like to be at home at night. There are a few things I like to see that I haven't seen in this old world. For some strange reason, I always wanted to see Niagara Falls. I don't know why. I just like to see it. That's what Paul was saying. I have a desire. And when I leave, I'm not coming back. I have a desire. That's my great desire in life, is to depart and be with Christ. You ever thought about that? What a great desire that was. As I said, very few of us probably could say that this evening. I'm a good friend, and sometimes I'm talking to him one day, and I don't remember, I said something, and he said, well, you know, I said, you're going to work yourself to death or something like that. And he said, well, I've been thinking about that lately. And he said, sometimes I just wish the Lord would let me come home. I just wish the Lord would let me come home. He really has a desire to go and be with the Lord. Paul said, I have a desire. One day I'm going to die. But when I die, it's gain. And lastly, you see his unselfish heart. He wanted to go, but he stayed so that he might help others go. You ever thought about that? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, the Lord needs me here. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I know the Lord can get by without anybody. I understand that. But Paul said, the Lord needs me here. Now, I want you to think about something tonight. So I said, I understand the Lord doesn't have to have me and he doesn't have to have you. But he needs us. Because that's what he chose tonight. That's the way he chose to spread his message, was through his church tonight, through his people, through their testimony and their witness tonight. That's what God chose. Paul said, the most needful thing I can do is put aside my desires and live for Christ. Do what the Lord wants me to do in this walk of life. Tonight, that's probably what you and I should be able to say tonight. We want to lay aside what we want to do and do what God wants to do. Lay aside what would be good for us and do what God would have us do tonight. Paul was unselfish. He didn't have a selfish bone in his body. He tonight could literally say, no matter what happens, I'm a winner either way. He was headed for Beulah Land tonight. His bags were packed, and he was ready to go. Are you ready to go this evening? Would you be a winner? Either way is the question you have to ask, answer tonight. All right, if you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message, use it tonight for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.